We're up to the services of Shorim. Perek Yud Dalet. Okay, after he discussed what the concept of Precious is and where it's positive and where it's negative to abstain from this world or to indulge. So now he's going to explain more of the details. What are the different kinds of abstinence that a person can do? Chelkei Aprishus, Haroshi, and Gimel. There are three major areas where a person can either indulge in this world or abstain from the world. Kine Yesh Aprishus Bahanos. One of them is physical pleasures. He separates himself from the physical pleasures of the world. Precious bedinim, or he can separate himself from things that he's allowed to do, but have in them things that may not be okay, at least possibilities of not being okay in all halacha. So there's precious from dvarim hamutarim that aren't necessarily indulgences in pleasure, but in things that are permissible to do or not permissible to do. We'll see, he's explaining each one. And precious bin minhagim. And minhagim over here does not mean customs. It means how you live socially. Minhagim over here means social abstinences. Abstaining from society. Okay. Ha precious bahanos, hu mashe hiskan of herakakodan. So we don't have to repeat, he says, the idea of separating oneself from indulging in physical pleasure, because that we discussed and that we went in through last week in great detail again, where it's positive, where it's negative, and where it depends on the person's own demeanor, where it's a good idea to separate yourself from the pleasures of this world, where it's not a good idea to do that, and where... it depends on the person if it's good or not. Okay. So that the Hainu Shalakas Midivri Ha'olam Elamasha Atzorich Yachriach. And the bottom line is whatever is necessary for a person. And that what's it called changes from person to person, what's called necessary. What's necessary for that person according to his needs, according to his background, a million other things, we're not going to go over it again, as we spoke about last week. That you should not separate yourself from. That's oppressive. Something that you don't really need, okay, so then it depends. If you can use it for Avodas Hashem, then it could be a good thing to have also. If you can, it's just, you have a pleasure that's mutter, and there's no real reason why you have to have it, then better to avoid it because it could lead to other negative things, and surely pleasures that you know could drag you to things that are prohibited, you should separate yourself from. Okay. The Dover Zeh Yakif, I'll call Mashahu Tainug Le'echad Ben Achushim, Behainu Ben Macho. And that applies, this rule, this kind of abstinence, applies to anything that gives pleasure to one of the five senses, which is eating, dressing, taking tiulim, shmuos, schmoozing, right? Kiosibas, and anything similar to that. You can have enjoyment with your ears, with your sense of your body, or whatever, and with eating, and so on. Taste. Okay. Rak b'yomim sha'onig bohem mitzvah. However, the exception is that there is a time when pleasure itself is a mitzvah. And that is yomim tovim and Shabbos. Where the pleasure itself is part of the mitzvah. There's no inyan to abstain from pleasure. Because there the pleasure is the mitzvah itself. Onik Shabbos. And the idea behind it is, Shabbos is mein olam haba. In other words, really the Rabban Shem wants us to, he wants to shower his goodness that we should enjoy. The Mishnah Sharon says, the ultimate reward is l'hisanei gal Hashem. To enjoy, right, the closeness to the Rabban Shel Olam, being close intellectually, emotionally, right, feeling that closeness to the Boshan Olam Haba. And that is the Tanug, Gadol, the greatest enjoyment, greatest pleasure a person can have, and that's the goal, that pleasure. Right? So God wants us to have pleasure. So wherever the pleasure will be an echo of that pleasure of the world to come, it's a mitzvah. Right? Therefore, make a bracha on all the pleasures of this world to attach them to feeling pleasure of being close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? I have a connection to God because he gave me nice food to eat. I made a bori mezonos, and I feel that it connects me to the Ribbono Shel Olam, this pleasure. But Shabbos and Yom Tov are specifically the mitzvah of having pleasure. Because Shabbos is supposed to remind me of that pleasure you have, that spiritual pleasure, but the way that you experience that spiritual pleasure in this world is eating a nice cholent, right? Singing nice miros. And all of a person's senses are supposed to be activated to have pleasure. That's why Shabbos candles are to activate your sight. And zmiros, the sound. And good food is the taste, right? All of Shabbos is pleasure. Even husband-wife relationships is relegated by Talmid Chacham to Shabbos. Because that's also part of experiencing pleasure for the sake of understanding that pleasure you relate to Shabbos, and Shabbos you relate to Olam Haba. So it gives you a taste of the kind of pleasure that is the kind of spiritual pleasure in the world to come. But we're not on the level to really experience spiritual pleasure where it's not connected to our bodies, right? Total spiritual pleasure. Every once in a while you could have a glimpse of that, but usually you have to relate it to something physical because we're in a physical world. So the physical pleasures that one has on Shabbos and Yom Tov are an echo, right? Of, give them a taste of Olam Haba. Nein Olam Haba. So that is a mitzvah. So there's no inyan to minimize your pleasure. There, adarava, unless you do it in such a way that totally is destroys your spiritual pleasure. It's not connected at all. But where your physical pleasure is connected to Shabbos, and you're enjoying the Shabbos, and Shabbos is a spiritual thing, that's a mitzvah, and there's no place to, you have to do it properly. You can't separate from it because you're afraid what's going to lead to or whatever, because you have a chiyuv to be behind that mitzvah. Okay, so that's the exception.
What about tefillah, for instance, on Shabbos? We spend hours in shul. How do you consider that? I mean,
okay, so somebody who's on the proper madriga should feel that tefillah is also an onik, like Ben who's davening. But in any case, who's davening for the omad. But tefillah can be an onik too. Right. First of all, people enjoy the singing of the davening, and if you appreciate what the words are, and you, you can appreciate you can have hanor from that too. Right? Hanor from your own personal davening, and from the davening with the tzibur, and being amongst other people, and it can be a positive experience, or it can be a very oppressive experience. So it depends where you daven. It depends how you daven. It depends how much you understand what you're davening. But davening doesn't necessarily have to be something that's against that pleasure. And Shabbos, in fact, it says that Chesiel, well, that's a Yom Tov, but Shabbos also, partially the pleasure is a spiritual pleasure, which is learning and davening. And for some people, learning is not a pleasure. For some people, davening isn't a pleasure. But if you work on yourself, you can appreciate tam u'ra'u, that it should become a pleasure. It can become a pleasure to learn. And it can become a pleasure to daven. But that's a spiritual pleasure. And the other part of the day is experiencing the physical pleasures that give you more of an understanding of what the Shabbos pleasure of Olam Haba is. So it works both ways. You have to have physical, and those are more spiritual pleasures.
Even sleeping as well.
Sleeping also, right. Right. Sleeping also is another method of pleasure, right. Okay, the haprishus bedinim. So that is the first kind of abstinence, prishus, where it comes to pleasure. Now the second kind, prishus bedinim, where you separate yourself from things that you're allowed to do. They're not necessarily pleasures, things you're allowed to do, but you separate yourself from it and don't do them because you're afraid that maybe you're going to be doing something wrong. Right, afilu she'ein halacha kamosa. This is a very dangerous thing to a certain degree. He says, one kai is to be machmir. Chumras come in all different kinds of possibilities. One kind of chumra is the following. The halacha says this is mutter, but there are opinions that say it's not. But we don't necessarily follow those opinions. Those opinions are not the majority, they're a minority. Okay? I want to be extra careful and not do something that's wrong, even according to one opinion. So I'm machmir, what's it called, and I'm choshesh, right, for that opinion that's not the halacha, but that tells me that this isn't okay according to that opinion. An example, let's see, Mehilchas Shabbos. Let's see, what would be a good example? Where the halach is clear one way, but there are opinions that say the other way. I'll give another example of sukkah. Okay? Want to build a sukkah. So according to most opinions, you can build sukkah with nails. Right? With metal, as long as it's not holding up the schach directly. And that's a good sukkah. And that's the halacha, no problem. The Chazon Ish, who's a das yachid, right, holds that a sukkah that's made with nails, where the sukkah itself is the indirect support of the schach, the nails or whatever, is no good. No good, but it's not lechatchila. So I could rely on the regular halacha, like 99% of people do. Right? Chazon Ish was not my Rebbe per se. And I can rely on the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah said it's perfectly okay to build a sukkah like that. But if I build a sukkah like that, according to the Chazon Ish, it's not lechatchila, at least. Right? So I want to be machmer and build a Chazon Ish sukkah to be yotzei everybody. Right, not doing anything wrong. Right, I'm being cautious for one day. I'm doing it in a way that I'll accomplish everybody's opinion. Maybe another example: those colored things to make put places in a safer, like these. Right. So many opinions hold that since they're only temporary, so they're like what's it called, like a diaper pin or something like that, a safety pin. Right, and it's okay to use them. Take them off, put them on, or whatever. Others hold that it's better not to use them because you could leave it there for a long time. If you don't learn too often, and every once in a while you put it in the safer and leave it there until the next time you pick up the safer, which may be a month later, so it could be more permanent. So my minig is, and people ask me, not to use them on Shabbos. But there are a lot of people who hold it. You could use them on Shabbos. So somebody says, look, the people say you could use this, people not use it. I'm not going to use it because why get myself embroiled in a machlokas when I can do it? Everybody holds it. If you don't use it, it's okay. So I won't use it. So I'll be machmer. So those are situations where I want to be extra careful, right, in a mitzvah or an aveira, and I want to be machmer even according to one opinion. Somebody eats shmura matzah the whole Pesach. According to most opinions, you don't have to eat shmura matzah except for the Seder. But since there is an opinion in halacha that it's supposed to be all matzah should be shmura matzah, so I want to be machmer like that. So this way, I'm yotzei according to everybody. Instead of just being yotzei according to the majority halacha, I'm yotzei according to everybody. So in most cases, you want to be choshesh for a das yachid, it is okay. Some cases though, for instance, a day that's brought in the Gemara that's totally, what's it called, rejected, is not already even a tzad to be machmer. It says that sometimes what you call the halacha is like Beis Hillel, and somebody who's machmer like Beis Shammai is doing something wrong. Because the halacha is not like that. That's not what it was meant. Where it's a latter day machlokas between different opinions, and it was never, you know, brought to a Sanhedrin, and it was never decided in a final halacha. It's just that some people say like this, some like this, and this is the majority, you could follow that. Or your Rav says you could do like that. You didn't say you have to do like that, right? You want to be more strict, you can be more strict, that's okay. But where a Deya was totally rejected in the Gemara, the Halacha is not like that, from the Gemara. That means that it was brought to the Beis Medrash, and that Tzad was totally rejected. There's nothing to be choshish for. Right? The Halacha is like Beis Hillel, you don't do like Beis Shammai. Right, even to say I want to be yotzei everybody's day, that's not true. Right, for instance, the Gemara says that what's it called, that Beis Shammai said you have to lie down when you say Kriyat Shema at night and stand up when you say Kriyat Shema in the daytime. So somebody will say, well, look, Beis Hillel holds also you could lie down and stand up, right? They just hold you could be sit down too, both times in your yotzei. But they don't say you can't lie down. And if I don't lie down, I'm not yotzei according to Beis Shammai. If I do lie down, I'm yotzei according to everybody. There's no, it doesn't good. Mara says the person who does like Beis Shammai is doing the wrong thing. That shita was rejected. It's not the halacha at all. So you can't do like that. So you have to be a little bit of a Talmud Chacham, or at least have access to know where you're allowed to be machmir according to one opinion or not, where you can't be machmir. So that's one kind of chumrah. I want to be yotzei according to all the opinions. Most of the time you're not going to be able to do that, right? Because sometimes they're contradictory opinions. But sometimes, yeah, in places, where do we do that? Almost keseder, in Sibur things, where we try to be yotzei as many shitas as we can, a mikveh. A mikveh, mikvahs are usually built to, in such a way that they yotzei all the shitas, so you yotzei no matter what. Even though halachically you could build it in a much easier way, a lot of things are taken into consideration to be yotzei other shitas. Where else do we say that? I want to be yotzei according to all the dayos.
In
Erevin, maybe, but even there it's impossible to be yotzei all the days. I want to do it. I don't want to do it minimal. I want to be yotzei, do it a little bit extra, and be yotzei all the different days. There, that's because it's a tzibur thing. Something that's not affecting only an individual.
Laying
parshas zohar, another case. They want to be yotzei all the days. Right, good example. That's a tzibur thing. So there, the tzibur could be machmir, but. There are cases where you can't say, well, I want to do according to a Das Yochid, when that Das Yochid was completely pushed away. So then there's nothing to be choshish for, whatever. Okay, so that's one kind of chumrah. One kind of chumrah is trying to be yotzei all the different opinions. Next one. Uvitznai, he says, but there is a condition over here. Besides the condition that I said, shelo yechumro kulo. Where being machmer according to a different opinion is going to end up being a kula. Okay? For instance, I gave you an example last week with sukkah. Person doesn't have a readily available sukkah, or he's, what's it called, has to be around and traveling or whatever, and he wants to be machmer, right, that not only aren't I going to eat out of the sukkah things you're not allowed to eat, even an opinion that, what's it called, that you can't even drink water out of the sukkah, I want to be machmer according to that. So it's very nice chumrah, but in end up not drinking water or eating anything, you're going to end up destroying your simchas yontif, because you don't have a readily available sukkah. So you're going to end up being makel in simchas yontif and being machmer in sukkah in a place where you don't have to be machmer, there's no Indian. And in simchas yontif, you're doing something that's wrong. So it's not good to be machmer in something then that will end up making something wrong. So that's or a case of pikuach nefesh. Person wants to be machmer in Hilchas Shabbos, right? But he's being makel in pikuach nefesh, and he may be endangering either his life or somebody else's life, which he's not allowed to do. Right? They say that what Reb Chaim Brisker used to say, he's not makel in Shabbos or Yom Kippur, he's machmer in pikuach nefesh. Right, depends what you look at. Sometimes this thing that you're machmer in is a kula on the other side of the coin. So there also, chumras are good, but if they don't lead to other kulas, okay. Ulahachmer b'sveikos, afilu makom shef shalahakel b'hem. Another kind of chumra is bedinin, is where you're machmer because there's a sofek. You're not sure. Right, you have meat. That may be kosher, may be treif. Okay, it's a shayla and halacha. Okay, and the halacha is it's okay, but still a doubt. Either because there's another opinion, or you're not sure what happened. Right, you're not sure what happened to this meat. Right, so the halacha is that under certain cases, doubts are decided by a rov, by a svek sveka. There's all different rules. So according to the rules, this is perfectly okay to eat. But I don't want to rely on that. It's doubt, right? The Torah says that I can rely on the fact that the doubt is okay, but I don't want to rely on that. Okay. There also, it could be a negative thing. If I say, look, I know that the halacha is that I can eat this, but it could be that it's not okay. Right? So the halacha doesn't tell me for sure it's okay. The halacha just tells me that I can rely on circumstance and say that probably it's okay. And I'm allowed to eat it. Okay? But I don't want to rely on that. Right? Because maybe it's not okay. So I want to avoid any possibility of doing something wrong, and therefore I'm not going to eat this thing. Okay? However, what happens if my being machmer goes against the Torah? For instance, a little bit of chazer falls into a big thing of chicken soup. And it's bottle b'shishim. Okay, the halacha is, it's not there anymore. The chazer is not there, it's bottle. Okay, it's nullified. And I say, I don't believe that. I don't think it's nullified. I don't want to eat this mixture. That's already apikursus. Then you're basically saying that you're frumer than God. Because God said it's bottle, and you say it's not bottle. So there already it may be worse. Now, you don't have to eat it necessarily, but if you believe you can't eat it, then you don't believe in the Torah. So you're denying halacha in the Torah. So that's not okay. Person says, I want to be machmer because I'm not sure. So there's a different opinions in Eruv, right? Whether an Eruv that has tzuras ha-pesach, you know, the wires and the posts that are more than 10 amas long, right, maybe not good. So I don't want to have you ride an Eruv, and about every Eruv in the world, the poles are more than 10 amas apart. 10 amas is only 17 feet or something like that. So I don't want to rely on that. So I don't carry in an Eruv unless it's like, you know, total, what's it called, solid wall or whatever. There, you know, it's not too much of a problem. So that's okay, because there is an opinion that says that it's not okay. But somebody who says, I don't believe in Eruvin, right? I don't think you carry on Shabbos, even if there's a solid wall around you or whatever. I don't believe in the whole Indian. Right? Therefore, I'm not going to do it. That's an apikoros. Somebody who doesn't, what's it called? Somebody who doesn't leave cholent, you know, to what's it called, to get hot over Shabbos, because he says that, well, there's all different opinions of how it has to be cooked or whatever, so I don't want to do that. That's one thing. But somebody who says, I don't believe you're allowed to leave food to cook on Shabbos. Right? I hold tzasher. What do you mean hold tzasher? The halacha is, nobody holds it, it's also, the halacha says it's okay. Right? So you're basically denying the Torah. You're being frumer than God. That's completely, also basically not because. So that's not okay. 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 So that's, Ukvar Bir Olano Chazal, Gemara in Chulin says, Maimer Yecheskel, Yecheskel said, Hini nafshi lo mituma, right? I didn't, defile my body. So I never ate from an animal that there was a shayla on the animal, and even if they said it's okay, once there was a shayla, I stayed away from it. I don't want to get involved. Right? Once there was any doubt that this animal was kosher, I didn't, what's it called, didn't get involved in it. Okay. Halacha, of course, if there's a shayla, and the halacha is that it's okay, you can eat it. But the ma'isa, what's it called, if you don't want to get involved in doubts, so that's okay too. That's called precious. That's called being machmer. Eli'iu, the achmer anafshi, you want to be extra machmer again. It depends on the situation. Right? You want to be extra machmer, you have a chicken, and you have a shayla in it. Okay? And the Rav says it's okay. But you want to be machmer. And now you won't have any chicken for Shabbos. So you're not going to have a decent meat for Shabbos. Not only that, but your children aren't going to have what to eat. And not only that, you don't have any money to buy another chicken, so you're going to, what's it called now, have to rely on taking tzedakah. So this chumrah is leading to a million other kulas. That's not a good thing to be machmerin. Then do what the halacha says. You want to be a big tzaddik, but your being a big tzaddik now affects other people. It affects your being Yotze only Shabbos, it affects your having to take tzedakah. So why be a machmer when it leads to other things that are worse off than if you would have been mekel, not mekel, just you would have accepted the halach. Ukvar zocharti lamala shein lilmol di mashahutra kol Yisrael leprushim sheish lamaharchik minakir minadoma lo minadoma ladoma. And I even smutter, but since there is a possibility that it could be also, there's something already that makes it not glatt, not, you know, 100% smooth. So then, for people who want to be extra careful, they can be extra careful. On the other hand, there's another Indian here, and that is Mechzik Yehuda. Sometimes, being extra machmir, so if nobody knows about it, is one thing. If people know about it, then you could look like you're a big haughty person. Why are you being more machmir than what's okay for everybody? So if you're a person that everybody knows is special and is careful in everything, so that's fine. But if you're a person who's, you know, not so careful in a lot of things, all of a sudden in this thing you want to be extra special, so that's Mechzik Yehuda. It could be that's also even if nobody knows. Because gaiva is not only also because you're putting on airs in front of other people. Gaiva is also in your own heart. You think you're a big shot, right? When you're not really, you're not roy for that. So sometimes being machmir because you want to be extra careful is good if that's what you, that's your madrega. If it's not your madrega, then it could be you're being machmir in kashrus and being mako in gaiva, which may be worse. Okay. The chain omar mar ukva, omar bahai milsa, chala bar chamr legabi abba. Mar ukva said that, I'm like, what's it called, vinegar, the son of wine, compared to my father. I'm vinegar. My father was like wine, I'm like vinegar. Why? Dilu abba karachal bisra ha'idna. My father would eat meat today, lohavi ochal gvina ad lamacher, kihashta. He would wait 24 hours between meat and milk. Okay, 24 hours, not 6 hours. 24 hours. But I only wait from meal to meal, which that's when we get the 6 hours. Usually, the difference between one meal to another was 6 hours, and that's why Germans have a meaning, according to some, to have 3 hours, because in winter days in Germany, the time between one meal and another was only 3 hours. In any case, so but one meal to another, that's what we call 6 hours. There's no halacha that says you have to wait 24 hours between meat and milk, right? Because if there would be the halacha like that, he would have done it too and waited 24 hours. His father was machmer. He felt that he couldn't be machmer. It wouldn't be good for him. Right? So he didn't do it. Therefore he called himself vinegar, the son of wine, because I'm not on the same level as my father. We learn from here another thing, that you can't just do chumras to copy somebody else, because why didn't he do it to copy his father? His father did it, so he could do it too. But he didn't feel he was either on the level of doing it, and therefore it would be gaiva, or he felt that it wasn't good for him because he couldn't control himself 24 hours without eating milk, and it's not good health-wise for him, or he just couldn't do it. It would be, in the end, he would be over many other things or whatever because he's waiting too long between the milk and the meat and the milk. But you see from here also that you just can't copy somebody else with chumras. It has to be something that fits you. And if it doesn't fit you, then just because somebody else did it doesn't mean it's good for you to do or that you should do it. So those are another kind of what's it called chumra, another kind of precious, where you separate yourself from something that halachically is mutter, but you want to what's it called go at the extra mile in order to satisfy all the opinions, in order to resolve any doubts, even though halachically you don't have to worry about the doubt, but it is a doubt, so you don't want to get involved in it. Those are reasonable chumras with the qualifications that we mentioned.